It's time for episode 8.2 of the Viking Red Zone Show, the Week 8 preview. We will preview the Benton County Vikings versus the River Valley Raiders, as well as every matchup in the PVC. And we'll end this show with the epic Dollars and Dimes rapid fire prediction. The Viking Red Zone is sponsored by J&K Contracting. One call, we do it all. And now, your hosts of the evening, Lux Herald and Nathan Lamb. And coming back to give us their rapid-fire predictions of the week, the voices of the Vikings, Jeff Thacker and Bob Grillo.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 8.2 of the Viking Red Zone podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting. One call does it all. It's 698-3521. It's the River Valley Preview Show. Lugs, how's it going? How was your week?
It's a good week, man. It's a good week.
Good week. We've got Bob and Jeff coming in a little bit to do the rapid-fire predictions with us.
Yes, we do.
I just set this up, man, because I'm good like that. I've got the Hall of Fame broadcaster from River Valley on the phone, Mr. Eric Witt, and he's going to go over the TV or the River Valley preview with us, because obviously he knows everything there is to know about River Valley.
There we go.
So, Eric, thank you for coming on the show. This is our first phone interview.
Well, thank you for having me. And actually, Nathan, I would like you to refer to me as the Hall of Fame broadcaster, like you just did.
All right, we can do that.
Eric is fine. Trust me.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on. This is a huge game, man. This is absolutely huge in every way.
It is. Yes, I agree.
River Valley comes in. You guys are 5-2, and what are you in the TVC? 2-2.
2-2. Yes.
2-2 in the TVC.
We lost our first two to Nelsonville York and Meigs, and then we've won our last two over Wellston and Alexander.
Right, and the Meigs game was kind of a tale of two halves. There, you guys nearly pulled the shocker upset in that in the second half.
Let's just say, Nathan, that Meigs game at the end of the season may come back to bite us. I'll just leave that one at that.
Yeah, I mean that's a good maybe prediction there. Now we talked a little bit so far. River Valley last week we did a segment of a playoff region watch kind of type thing, and River Valley was a team that we talked about. You know, if you guys went out, because obviously, you've got three really tough games coming up.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Benton County, obviously, this Friday. And then you have, who do you have next week? I don't know why I can't remember.
We're at Athens. Week 9.
Yes.
And then we finish up at home with Waverly, who, from what I understand, just gave Willersburg quite a game on Friday night.
Yeah, I kind of think that Waverly might be the second best team in Southeast Ohio behind Willersburg. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a tough one. But what we said was if you guys make the playoffs, you will have earned it. Because I think you guys got to win the last three to get in. And if you do, then that's awesome. And we hope that, you know, you might lose one, but still get in, right?
I understand that. I have a feeling you're talking about this coming Friday night.
Right. So, yeah, but let's, okay. So, Benton County is 0-2 against River Valley in, actually, all time. We've only played twice, which is hard to believe. Now, right. Benton County did play Kiger Creek and Southwestern, I believe, back in the day.
Okay.
I've got those records, but I did not get them out in front of me, so I apologize. Last year, you guys came to MacArthur and put a 30-12 victory on the board. And coming into this Friday, you guys are 5-2, and we are 3-4. Now, I asked you for some info earlier, and you did provide it, but I want, since you're on here, I want to go ahead and if you can just go over the stats that you guys have in front of you there, if you do, of your quarterback and your running back, because this is going to be the top two quarterbacks based on stats going head-to-head this Friday.
Yes. Our junior quarterback, his name's Patrick Brown. What can I say about Patrick? He is, I think you guys know this after what you saw the last couple years. Anytime you step in for arguably the probably best quarterback in school history, and that was Dayton Hardaway, who was a four-year starter, not a lot of people thought that the passing game would continue kind of on the same path that it had the last 4 years, but Patrick has done an outstanding job in his first year as a starter. Right now he is, I believe it's over 1,100 yards, 1,157, I believe it is, to be exact, passing-wise. He has 14 touchdown passes and only four interceptions on the season as well, and he has just exceeded expectations. You know, any time you, I don't know an analogy I can use, any time you you come in and replace a Braxton Miller or you replace your school's, you know, Tom Brady or whatever.
Right.
Anytime you have those huge expectations like that. And we all knew that Patrick was a good leader. He's probably got a better football mind overall than Dayton did. He's not the passer that Dayton was, but I don't think any of us expected after seven games he would have almost 1,200 yards passing and 14 touchdowns. So it's been outstanding passing-wise for the Raiders.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. If you kind of a lot of people expected you guys to struggle somewhat this year after graduating so many seniors from last year, last year's playoff team, by the way.
And I think that that's something that if I can talk a little prideful here for a second, I know we're on a Vinton County broadcast.
Hey, you go right ahead. You go right ahead.
Well, I tell you guys, I think we all know the history of River Valley. It hasn't been the greatest football history in the world, but I think we all know what Coach Sparling has done the last few years to try and make this a program. And we've had it in the past, 02 and 03, we had back-to-back non-losing seasons, which sounds horrible to say, but for River Valley, that was a big deal to have back-to-back non-losing seasons.
Right.
And then we went on another path of a bunch of 1-9s, 2-8s, year after year. And now here, these last 3 years, we go 5-5 in 2014, and then we have just this unbelievable senior class last year. We go 7-3, the best record in school history. We make our first playoff appearance in school history. Here's something for you guys to think. River Valley last year, that was their first playoff appearance in 24 years, their 24 years of existence. As far as I know, the four schools that River Valley was created from, none of them ever made the playoffs. So not only was that the first playoff appearance in River Valley history, that was the first playoff appearance in Gallia County local schools history.
Wow.
So that is, I mean, you're talking back to the, you know, I'm assuming whenever they started playoff history or whatever. So
be back in the 70s, I think.
To lose 16 seniors and then to come back the next year with a small but decent senior class, a pretty decent junior class, the thing that makes me feel good about the next several years, River Valley has a huge freshman and a huge sophomore class, including several of them that are getting starting and playing time right now on the varsity level. And really, guys, to be 5-2 through seven games, and I know a lot of the pundits will say we haven't played the greatest schedule in the world, which we haven't. But with that being said, one of the keys that we gave the beginning of the season was, can you know, after a year after you have your best season in school history, can you come back from that by losing arguably the greatest senior class in school, and maybe this is the year River Valley proves that maybe they have a program, not just a one-and-done thing. And I think by what I've seen so far and what I see in the next several years of the future, guys, I really do think that finally, after 25 years, the River Valley Raiders have a football program, and I think we're starting to see that each and every week. So
that is cool. So, all right, so we got a little bit of this season, this year's River Valley football team. One thing that I love and that I'm big on is the history, And a lot of our listeners have told us that they like to they like hearing about the history of whatever we decide to talk about. But for a lot of people that don't know, River Valley is a fairly new school. And this is actually, I don't know if you know this, but this is our 50th year. So it's a milestone for us. And it's the same thing for you guys, correct?
Yes, this is our 25th year of existence for River Valley.
So that's pretty cool. You know, we're both milestone years. And you know, like you said, making the playoffs for the first time has to be awesome. I just go ahead and for those out there that care about history, go ahead and give us the schools that, because obviously it's the same here with Vinton County. We had five county schools. We all consolidated into one, so it's kind of the same deal down there. So go ahead and explain what happened down there and what took place and when.
I sure will. It was in the fall of 92 is when the four schools consolidated. There were four county schools here in Gallia County. North Gallia was one, which I'll just go ahead and give a little history for myself, too. That is the high school where I would have gone had it stayed open. So I was a Pirate before I was a Raider. But there was North Gallia, there was Tiger Creek, as you've mentioned, there was Southwestern, and then there was Hand and Trace, and all four of those consolidated in the fall of 92 to River Valley. Our first couple years of existence, we were independent. Our third year of existence, which was 94, we joined the SEIL. Don't ask me why. Well, I know why, because we wanted to start this big rivalry with, of course, the Blue Devils,
right.
You know, Gallia Academy.
Old Blue!
And unfortunately, that wasn't the best situation, I think, for us. I think a lot of the downfalls of River Valley's football program kind of started with that mistake there.
Yes.
I think where we're at now in the TVC is probably where River Valley should have started all the way from the beginning. And I honestly think if we would have started in TVC from the beginning, this football program would look a lot different than it is. But that's never here nor there, and that's about it. Like I mentioned earlier, we've suffered through several years. I think everybody knows we suffered through four straight 0-10 seasons, a 40-41 overall game losing streak. That was ended in 0-2 and 0-3 with back-to-back non-losing seasons. We went 5-5 in 0-2 and had our first ever winning record, 6-4 in 0-3, and then suffered through several more seasons until the last couple years when Coach Sparling, I think, has really turned this program around, 5-5, as I said, in 14, 7-4 overall with the playoff loss last year, and now 5-2 so far this year. And then also, I kind of mentioned to you, Nathan, of the four schools, about 5 years after River Valley was opened, it actually was my senior year in 1996-97, the Hand and Trace people and part of the Southwestern District opened up, which is now South Gallia, the Rebels, which, of course, are in TVC Hawking. So that kind of split. So the consolidation of River Valley was really only for 5 years, and then two of the schools kind of split off and formed South Gallia. And South Gallia, I believe this is their 20th year of existence, so it's a big anniversary year for them as well. So,
okay,
that is kind of your Gallia County history right there.
Well, that's cool, and we like that. And one thing I want to ask you, I want to hit on this while we're talking about it. The split of South Gallia and River Valley. How much do you think that affected, you know, the next 10 years of River Valley, especially in the football program? How much do you think that affected? Because obviously when you play in the SOAL back then, you know, whenever the Raiders were a whole unit there, the whole county other than Galpalis City, you know, you guys were a lot bigger. You lost a lot of enrollment whenever you split. So how much do you think that affected the outcome? And if had that not have happened, you know, you guys might have had more success in the SOAL.
I would tend to agree with you on that. I think you can automatically see the effect that happened. A lot of people don't think about this. Last year was River Valley's first ever playoff appearance. South Gallia, if I'm correct, had already had three or four playoff appearances before last year.
Right.
I think last year was their fourth or fifth. So I think the split, although maybe not overly. I think River Valley was just in a conference they shouldn't have been at that point. But I do think, and I can remember those first couple years, of River Valley losing a couple of players that were key players that were at River Valley. And then, of course, when the split happened, they were in that part of the southern part of the district, so they went with South Gallia.
Right.
But honestly, guys, if I can, and I don't want to get too bent out of shape here, because I think you guys know how you feel about Wellston. I'll tell you how we feel up here about Gallia Academy. I'll just say this way: from River Valley started in '92 through about 2001, 2002. If you open up a Gallia Academy football record book, you will find all kind of records from the early to mid '90s. And a majority of those records, I can tell you right now, they're all-time leading rusher. They're probably one of the best quarterbacks in the school history. Two of the best quarterbacks in school history from the '90s are all county kids. Now listen to me. That's not, you know, that happens everywhere. I understand. And hey, they had more opportunities, better place to play at Gallia Academy. But honestly, guys, all those years that River Valley was going 1-9, 2-8, 0-10. Especially the four straight years of 0-10, you had the Gallia Academy starting quarterback at that time, who I had in my senior yearbook as a ball boy on the football picture with a future Raider shirt on, and he left as one of the greatest quarterbacks in Gallia Academy history. I don't know if you guys remember Donnie Johnson, from Gallia Academy. Oh yeah, Donnie was in my senior yearbook as one of the ball boys. And they had all the ball boys in the football picture with future Raiders shirts on. And then he wound up becoming possibly one of the best quarterbacks in Gallia Academy history.
But well,
I'll just put it this way, guys. It's a mixture of things. There was a lot of kids that did leave to go into the city where I understand they had better opportunity. Gallia Academy was a better program at that time. And then the split 5 years later with South Gallia, I'm sure that didn't help as well. So there was a lot of mixtures. Also, a big thing is up until Coach Sparling got here, we really didn't have a junior high or a midget league or whatever you want to call it system. Or if we did, they were different coaches that weren't coaching the same thing that the high school coaches were. Coach Sparling has really taken over the midget league or little league, whatever you call it. They play up in the league up in Meigs, I believe it is, in the Big Bend Youth Football League up there is where the River Valley kids go. And then we have a excellent junior high program who, if I believe correctly, our current eighth graders only lost one game as seventh graders, and I don't think they've lost this year yet. So that is a big reason why River Valley is turning into a program and doing what they're doing now is we have kids that are true River Valley Raiders in the system from third, fourth, fifth grade and on up. And 10 years ago, they really weren't becoming true Raiders until they hit their freshman year of high school. And you guys know that it's hard to have a program when you're not really getting the high school system until you hit high school.
Right, that's right. And what Sparling's doing down there in the lower levels is only going to help you guys for years to come. And I think you're right. I think the TVC Ohio is a perfect fit for River Valley, school size-wise, facility-wise. You guys have great facilities down there, gymnasium, football field. The drive's not too far. I know your drives are probably a lot easier now than they were in the OVC. One thing I do want to point out is if you would have stayed in the SEOL, you'd be looking for a conference right now.
Yes,
so,
that is a good point.
So at least you're in a well stable TVC, which I take a lot of pride in because Vinton County was one of the charter members of, and it's our league, man. We're glad to have you.
We enjoy it, or at least I know I do. I love it kind of reminds me as I was talking with you and Lugs earlier, it kind of reminds me of the old days when my dad was up at Benton County seeing the Nelsonville Yorks and the Wellstons and teams like that. So it kind of, now that I'm kind of putting my own path here at River Valley, it kind of reminds me of the old days in the TVC. And I tell you what, guys, Meigs is kind of that one that we haven't had a lot of success with, that we've kind of tried to get a rivalry going where we're so close to them. But I can tell you guys, and I don't know how you guys feel. I know how you guys feel. It's Wellston. I understand that. But I will tell you, there are a lot of people here in Bidwell, and I, I'm not saying this because we're 2-0 against you so far, by the way, but there are a lot of people here. There are a lot of people here in Bidwell that do say they could see a very good rivalry out of this River Valley Vinton County matchup for years to come. And I like the sounds of that just because of my connection with the Vikings from, you know, years ago. But I do like the sound of that, and I don't know. I just hear a lot of people in the Bidwell and around the Raider program say, you know, Vinton County is one of those teams, especially where we're both kind of on that rise up the ranks, so to speak. I think this could be quite the rivalry for several years to come.
Well, we hope that that's true. We'll always save a butt-whipping for Wellston in Week 10, but yeah, hopefully that's true. Hopefully we both battle for some titles coming up. This is a huge game in terms of who finishes in the top half of the league this year, and obviously you guys still have playoff implications on the line, so it's a double big game for you. It's a homecoming night, right?
No, it is. Well, our homecoming was the Wellston game.
Okay, so good.
I don't know this for a fact, so maybe I shouldn't say it. So if I'm wrong, I apologize. But I believe they are not wanting to do our last game on Week 10 is against Waverly at home, but they're not wanting to do senior night that night for some reason. So if I'm correct, I believe it is going to be senior night on Friday night. It won't be, of course, as big of a senior night as it was last year with 16 seniors, but we have a couple.
Right.
I do want to get this out real fast, guys. I know I need to shut up and quit talking, but another one I want to mention, I mentioned Patrick Brown. We have probably our best overall player on offense, and he's a heck of a safety on defense. His name is Trey Craycraft. That's T-R-E, Trey Craycraft. And Trey is a senior, and he is just outstanding receiver. He's our leading receiver with over 600 yards receiving. He also has, I believe, seven touchdowns, and he is just an absolute beast on defense as well. It seems like a lot of times I'm calling his name on whether it's an interception. I think he's got three interceptions total. He's got several pass deflections, and even though this isn't the greatest sometimes when a safety has to make a tackle, but he is he's quite a hitter. If a guy gets past the line of scrimmage, Trey is going to be there to make sure he doesn't get too much more. So I'm sure Trey will have one of the assignments to keep an eye on Mr. Yates, who I know is not only an outstanding passer, but is an outstanding runner as well. So I definitely wanted to get Trey out there because Trey is having an outstanding season for us, especially his senior year.
Yeah, those stats are they're pretty good. Well, Eric, I would expect a pretty high-scoring game this week, man. I think we're going to see two big-time offenses going at it. Should be fun.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it, guys. Hey, it seems like Athens and Nelsonville York are the top two so far, so it looks like this could be a battle for third place between us. So I'm looking forward to it, and may the best team win.
That's right, man. We'll see you, and thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Great insight to River Valley. Stuff that I think is awesome. We hope that you lose this week, but we hope you win the next two.
All right. Well, the same to you guys. I hope
All right.
This week, but I hope you win the last two.
Hey, as long as we beat Wellston, we'll be okay with that, right?
Well, there you go. Hey, you guys beat Wellston. We've already beat Yay Academy, and it'll be a good season.
That's right. You guys are the kings of Yay County. Enjoy
That's
it.
Right.
Enjoy it while it lasts. You never know how long it's going to be.
Right.
But we will see you. We will definitely see you this Friday.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Hey, I appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Welcome back to episode 8.2 of the Viking Red Zone Podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting. One call does it all, 698-3521. It is the Canner Surveying the TVC segment.
Yes.
Canner, surveying the TVC. Canner Surveying, Robert C. Canner, professional surveyor, out of Athens. 592-5706, 591-0324. Visit them on the web at Canner. Actually, it's cangps.com. That's cangps.com for all of your surveying needs. Okay. What is this, week 7? 8? Week 8?
Week 7.
Week 8.
Week 8. Yes, 8, 9, and 10 left.
Yeah.
That's right.
3 games left.
Yes.
That's unreal.
Flying by, man.
What are we going to do when we can't do this podcast anymore?
Oh, man, I don't know, man. We could play Madden and broadcast it or something.
I don't have a PlayStation.
I don't know. There's always basketball, man. There's always basketball.
Yeah, but they got their own show.
They do, man.
We can't have our own basketball show.
No. I'll tell you. Track.
Well, track's not a winter sport.
Well, it's not to wait till the spring. The volleyball?
Volleyball's in the fall.
Volleyball's...
Pick a winter sport here.
Man, I'm trying.
You're not trying very good.
I'm disgruntled over football ended, man. There's always the Bengals.
Yeah, right.
There we go, bud.
What's their record?
2-3. We're fine. And we need to panic.
Okay. I wouldn't be panicking either.
If you're Cleveland, you're panicking after week 5.
No, if we're Cleveland, we're trying to get Lamar Jackson is what we're trying to do.
Well, how's that going to work? Because you know you're going to trade your first pick.
No,
you're going to have your second first pick, and you're going to trade it for 3 more first picks for 2018. And then in 2017, you're going to trade them first picks for some picks in 2019. So in 2026, you're going to actually have a first-round pick. So that's how it's going to go. Yeah, see, you got me starting on Cleveland. So
I've had
go
enough.
Go ahead and go to baseball. I know that's where we're headed.
I've had enough. Basketball starts up.
We got to get to the TVC preview at some point, don't we? Let's go. Okay, we're
I
ready.
Suppose. I mean, yeah. We've only wasted, what, 5 minutes, 6 minutes?
Yeah, 5 minutes
of everybody's time.
Seconds. Yeah.
That nobody's listening anymore. Yeah. So, yeah. Right. Okay. Let's get it started.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and do the non-conference game first. Mm-hmm. It is Megs at Jackson. Now, we will have Bob and Jeff back for these pick-ems. They are going to come back over and pick these games with us.
Yes,
but for now, it'll just be me and you this segment. We won't have a guest.
Yep.
And we will discuss these games. So, I mean, these two teams are teams that we know pretty well. I mean, we know a lot of people at Jackson, 6-2. We know, obviously, you got a pretty good friend at Megs, and we've seen Megs already this year, and we know a lot about them. And this is last week with Athens, I really thought Athens was just going to steamroll Megs, but they really showed a lot of heart, you know, with all the injuries that they have. Heart resilience. I mean, they came out and were leading by 10 in the third quarter against the Bulldogs. And for that, you know, going to Jackson, I would have thought they had no chance. And you know, we'll figure out what we think later in the next segment. But just based off of what they did against Athens last week, I got to give them, you know, a puncher's chance here because –
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they can score. It's clear that they can score. Even in the games that they've lost, they put up, 34? What did they score last week?
46.
46 last week. Yeah. They scored 29 against us in a loss. They put up 36 against River Valley, a team that's, you know, only given up 14 points since.
Winning by 30-some points there in that game at one point, yeah.
Right. It's clear that they can score even with all these injuries. So it's got to kind of be a scary game for Jackson because – Yeah, you know, Jackson's got a couple big games coming, you know, to finish the year out. And, you know, you may look at a Megs team like, hey, you know, we should beat these guys pretty easy. You know, if they even look past them one bit, this could be a game.
Yeah, we know Helton had a concussion the week before, so he goes into Athens, and we didn't even think he was going to play.
Right.
He ended up playing. You know, but obviously how was his mindset coming into the Athens game? And they still gave Athens a heck of a game. Now he's coming into this game probably 100% feeling great, you know,
right,
when you're going into Jackson. And we know Jackson's had several suspensions, and we've gotten what we call an unofficial rule that there was 3, but I've heard there was even more than that. So they're obviously playing a lot of young kids right now. Jackson is 6-2. They're winning. They got a shot at the playoffs. But
actually, they're 5-2.
They're 5-2.
Yeah, they're 5-2.
Yes, because they haven't had 8 games yet. Yes, they're 5-2. So they still got a shot at the playoffs, though, but
– yeah.
This is one of those games where Megs could come into Jackson and sneak a win out. You know, I mean, they definitely could. It's definitely not a clear-cut thing here, I don't think. So You know, Jackson's obviously the favorite coming in, but I'd give Megs the puncher's chance, like you said, definitely.
Yeah, and another thing, like we said in the Monday show with our regional review, or however you want to put it, playoff, in terms of playoff points, Jackson has to win out to make the playoffs. If they lose a game, I think they're out. I don't think they make it. And they have Megs this week at 3-4. Mm-hmm. And their last three games are at home. But they play a Division II school in week 9. And then they play Cabell Midland out of West Virginia, who in terms of enrollment, would be Division I in the state of Ohio.
Wow.
Not D2, D1. And you know, since they split up D1 and D2, you got to have a lot of kids to be classified as D1 now. And they are classified as a Division I school in terms of Ohio, in terms of how they do their ratings for playoffs.
Not going to be easy.
And Cabell Midland sits at 3-4, so they're not maybe not the best, you know, big school in West Virginia, but they're definitely not the worst. So how does that correlate into Ohio? And and that'll be a huge game. So that's what I'm saying. Does Jackson kind of look ahead, which I'm sure they are not. I mean, Andy Hall is, I think last week, did he break the all-time wins record at Jackson?
I do not know.
I think he has this season at some point. I don't know if it was last week or before. I'm sure we'll find out. But if not, he's right up there with it. I mean, because that's all he's done ever since he's got there is win games. So, and that's something that, you know, that's the thing, man. If Jackson misses the playoffs, it's not a good year. You know, it's playoffs are bust for them down there. And that's, I mean, what did they won 10 games the last two or three years, haven't they? I mean, it's been unreal.
Yeah.
So the run that they're on, so,
so for them to sit, the playoffs,
yeah, that's huge, right? Yeah.
And plus, brand new stadium they just built. Obviously, they want to get that reputation built up with that stadium, or
right.
Brand new stadium, but new field turf and
The new turf, which is beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It's really nice.
So that is Megs at Jackson, and we will go. Alexander travels to Nelsonville, York. 5-2 Nelsonville, York. 1-6 Alexander. Now this is a team. This is a game of number one last year, number one versus number seven. Nelsonville York was dead last year. Alexander was number one. They won the TBC Ohio. This year, roles have flip-flopped dramatically.
Yes.
Alexander is trying to, you know, play for a little bit of pride here after picking up the first win of the year in week one. They've lost six in a row. Meanwhile, the Buckeyes started out the year 1-2, and we really kind of thought maybe they were on the same path they were last year, but quickly turned that around, and they're now 5-2, and they've just beaten the crap out of everybody that they played the last few weeks.
Yeah, they're running through the TBC.
Right,
just running through.
I mean, they gave up 0 points to Wellston, 0 points to River Valley, so you got to kind of wonder about this one. In Nelsonville, York, I know a lot of people over there, you know, Coach Richards and all the players, they got this. They got this list, man, this revenge list, and they're checking people off.
Yeah,
you know, they don't go 1-9 in Nelsonville. You know, I don't know if they've ever done it before last year. So they're, you know, that's left a bitter taste in their mouth, and they got a lot of talent that was injured last year, and you can tell because they're primed and ready.
Yeah, because they're healthy too, and they're all playing. I mean, all four of them. I mean, or three of them. I know we know Noah Andrews and Mountain and Hunter Edwards,
right.
You know, and they're all three living up to exactly what everybody said they would be all season long.
Right.
They're doing well. And you know, Alexander, I mean, obviously, I mean, Nelsonville's so dominant right now, you just think Alexander doesn't have much of a shot. But A.J. Marks and Chase Harris are great athletes. If they can get people around them to play, just like they did against Athens, you know, they can make a little bit of noise and make a run at you. So, I mean, Nelsonville is obviously the front runner, but, I mean, Alexander does have the talent to maybe pull a shocker. You know, I don't know if it'll happen or not, but they could.
Well, I don't know. The last 4 weeks, the Buckeyes have given up 12 points. 6 points to Megs and 6 points to River Valley. They shut out Logan and they shut out Wellston. So.
Yeah.
And I know the River Valley, I think River Valley scored the second half, so I don't even know. Maggie was out of reach, you know, when that happened. And Megs, I think, was the same way. So they are playing very good defense. They've scored 46, 35, 47, 38 in their last four. So they've just been absolutely unstoppable. But let's point out, the exception of River Valley at 5-2, they played 1-6 Logan, 3-4 beat up Megs, and 3-4 Wellston. So they finish with Alexander, obviously come to MacArthur for senior night in Benton County in week 9, and then Athens in week 10. So the last 2 weeks could be interesting. This could be a trap game. You know, it's a game where if you don't come to play, and we obviously know, you know, with Athens and Alexander earlier in the year, Alexander can stick around, and they can make you, you know, they can make you sweat for a little while, and they did with us, with Athens, and we'll see what happens next week, or actually this week with them in Nelsonville, York.
It'll be interesting.
Okay, so we'll go to the last league game of the week, and it is the Athens Bulldogs and the Wellston Rockets. Where's this game at?
It is at Athens.
At Athens.
Yeah, it is at Athens.
Right.
And this is, if you wanted to pull a game that I think has the potential to be an upset, I think it's this one. And I think that's only because I've seen Wellston play at a high level. We see him play at a low level. But we've seen Athens up and down too. So if Wellston could come in up and Athens is a little flat, all of a sudden you're behind against a powerful running team and you might have trouble catching up. So
right, and that's true. And how much I think this is Wellston's first time on field turf.
All year.
Yeah, it is. So how much does that affect this game? How much does that affect them? Does it help?
I think it probably hurts them. I mean, I think about the old school days. If you want to be a ground and pound running team, and that's what Wellston is.
Right.
You want the mud and the muck and the grass and everything because it slows them down.
Well, that's true. But you know, if it's rainy tomorrow night, which they're calling for, you know, that could level the playing field a little bit with the passing game.
Especially
of Athens.
The passing game, yeah.
Which you know, even when we played Athens, and I know you know we just got annihilated, but they still weren't that impressive passing the ball.
No.
I mean, they didn't have a ton of yards in the air.
No. And then Alden had a pretty good day against us. And
right.
Mean, they kind of had it. And we don't know what happened with
for
us.
For whatever
game,
reason.
But
yeah.
It was just, they just handled us. You know, basically. They just handled us.
So that, I agree. That could be the game of the week right there.
If there's one game that someone texted me Friday night and says, oh, Wellston's beating Athens, I'm not nearly as shocked as I would be if somebody says Alexander's beating Nelsonville. So
yeah, that's or Megs yeah. Megs over Jackson.
Yeah, or Megs over Jackson, exactly.
Right.
So.
Right. I will agree with that. I will totally agree with that. And you know, for our sake, in terms of our chance at a TVC Ohio championship, which we still are alive.
Yes.
We need Wellston to beat Athens.
Dare we say we're rooting for Wellston this week? Should we say we can't say that on the air, right?
We will say that in private. we need Wellston to beat Athens. That way Athens has a loss in the league. We have a loss in the league. And then hopefully if we can beat River Valley and then to look ahead. I know the players aren't looking ahead, but we're allowed because we're not players.
Yes,
but
right.
if we can beat River Valley this week, you go into week 9 with a chance at a title.
Yes.
I mean, obviously you got to take care of business in week 10, but how cool would that be if you could upset the Buckeyes? Upset them.
Amazing.
And have a 3-way tie for the lead with Nelson, York, and Athens playing. So that's a championship game.
Yep.
And then it would be us and Wellston playing. And Wellston would love nothing more than to knock us out of a championship.
Yeah.
Because those used to happen. That used to happen quite often back in the 90s. That game was very important.
And we're at Wellston this year.
And we're at Wellston.
Yep.
So that it could finish out
a
tremendous
up.
Finish to the TVC Ohio season.
Which is kind of cool because last year it was kind of, by this point, Alexander kind of took that turning point and started running away with it
right.
at this stage. So,
right.
I mean, now you really, it's still a toss-up. It's kind of
exactly.
awesome.
Even if it doesn't come down, even if we're not in the mix, you know, chances are it's still going to come down to that Week 10 game between Athens and Nelson, York.
Yeah, that's
And right now, I mean, you could make a case for either one of those teams to win that game. So,
yeah.
It really... There's no doubt about this. It's going to come down to week 10. There's no clear-cut winner. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you got your top two favorites. You can kind of throw us in the mix there as a team that has a chance.
Yep.
I wouldn't call us a favorite, but a team that has a chance. And like we said with Eric earlier, you know, this ultimately this week is a third-place game.
Yep.
So, you know, if we win this game, lose to Nelsonville, if we can handle Wellston, third place.
Yep.
So, I mean, is that something that we would have took at the beginning of the year, 5-5, third in the TVC?
I'll take it.
Compared to where we've been, you know, the last few years, it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah, because
with a lot of people coming back too.
And I think Bob even mentioned this a little bit in our review of the Fed Hawk is you know, we feel like we're a next season team. I mean, we really do.
Right,
it's really prime
season away.
Yeah, 5-5 this year is exactly what you want with these young guys going into the next year. So,
well, I will say this. 2 years ago, what did we do 2 years ago?
1-9.
1-9.
Yes.
Okay. Are you sure?
Wait. 2013, we went 5-5. We went 1-9, 1-9.
That's 3 years. And we went 2-8 last year.
2-8 last year.
Or 3-7 last year.
3-7.
We went 3-7 last year, 1-9 the year before that.
1-9 year, yeah.
Burleson okay. Was 1-9. Yeah. So, anyways, listen to this. And I know I've said this before. My junior year, or my sophomore year, we go 2-8. Okay? You take that and correlate it into the 3-7 season that we had last year with this class that you have grouped together as juniors now. As sophomores, they went 3-7. We went 2-8. As juniors, they're going to go four. Chances are they're going to win 4 or 5 games. Okay? Mm-hmm. With a possibility to win 6.
Yep.
We go 6-4. Right? Okay, the year after that, we make the playoffs. So they've got a shot.
Yeah,
it can't happen. It won't take a miracle, man.
Yep,
we're right on the edge.
We are.
We just need to buy in and stick it out, man.
And like I said, the end of the season is shaping up.
It's exciting.
It's all working out, man.
It's been nearly 10 years since we've been this late in the year talking about an opportunity to win a league championship.
Yeah.
So
things are looking up. It's gonna be awesome.
It's exciting. I'm excited. How long has it been since we've had a Week 8 game that we've been really excited about?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. Yep. And I think even last year, I think we felt like we were the underdogs. I think we kind of knew we were like,
we were.
We only won against Fed Hawk.
Right.
We were 1-6.
Yeah.
I mean, now you're going in against River Valley. We know River Valley's good, but, I mean, we legitimately think we have a shot at winning this game.
We can score points.
In Week 8.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, interesting. So.
All right, so that's going to wrap it up, right?
Yep, that wraps up our TVC preview.
All right, we will be back with the Dollars and Dimes rapid-fire predictions.
With Bob and Jeff.
Bob and Jeff. Yep. I think they're here. I think I heard them outside.
Yep, there we go.
Okay, we'll be back. Welcome back to episode 8.2 of the Viking Red Zone Podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting. One call does it all, 698-3521. It's time for the Dollar and Dimes rapid-fire predictions. Lugs, what do you got about Dollars and Dimes this week?
Dollars and Dimes this week. I just wanted to let everybody know that they went and bought two really nice pallets of stuff. They're all appliances, good things that you can use in your kitchen. And one of the things I wanted to point out is they have something called an air fryer. I don't know what an air fryer is, but they're $80 at Walmart, and they are selling them brand new in a box for $30.
Wow.
So they got three of them. They've already sold one, so they're down to two. But got a lot of. They had a huge electronic crock pot. I think they sold it for like $40. Brand new in a box stuff. Really good stuff. Go down there and check out the pallets. They don't last long. You get you some good stuff out of them.
That's awesome.
Let's get Bob an air fryer.
I don't know what it is, but they look cool.
Bob,
they're supposed to be
that.
A healthier alternative to grease frying.
You don't need me around anything electrical.
Yeah.
Catch that fire around me.
I know.
We're going to get him a fryer now. Timmy will probably just bring you one Friday.
Get him an air fryer. Yeah. No.
All right. So let's get into it. Let's go ahead and start with the non-conference game of the week. 3-4 Megs at Jackson. It's 6-2. Jackson with their 50th home game this year. The Megs Marauders, I mean, we know what they did last week against Athens. They really put up a fight. Jackson comes in, like I said, 6-2 on the season. We're going to start the way we always do. The guest goes first. Whichever one of you, we're going to keep both your scores, so whichever one of you guys want to go first, and then we'll just go around the room.
Well, my nephew Shane Wilford is one of the coaches, and so I'm going with the Ironman in that game.
Homer.
I'm an Ironman graduate, so Jackson.
I was going to say, you know, he's picking Jackson because he graduated from Jackson. I'm taking Jackson as well. I think there's just too much of them.
Yeah, I would love to take Megs here just to, you know, because I got my buddy from Megs, but. I think Jackson's got this. We need scores, by the way, too. But I'm going to pick the score. I don't think it's going to be that close. I think it's going to be like a 52-17, something like that. It's going to be kind of crazy, I think. But
oh, you got to do scores then?
Yeah, we're professional.
Ooh, 40-20 for me, Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do
52-28, Jackson wins.
Ooh, I think
Meg scores, man. They can score points. It's going to happen.
Not against Jackson.
I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Okay. Next up, Nelsonville York. Alexander, the game is in Nelsonville. Nelsonville York 5-2. Pretty much rolling right now. Alexander 1-6 and struggling. So two teams going in the opposite direction. Who you got?
Nelsonville 42. Yeah, that's Alexander 14.
Oh. I'll go with Nelsonville 40, Alexander 6.
All right, I'm going to go with Nelsonville pretty big on this one, too. I think Alexander's not going to have too bad of a day there. They're kind of up and down. I think they can score when they need to. I'm going to go with Nelsonville. I'm going to go 37-20.
I think Nelson.
Yeah.
That's kind of close.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a little bit of
respect. I think the Buckeyes are more angry at Alexander than they are anybody else after last year because Alexander won the league. So I think they're going to try to prove a point here. And I think they're going to score 50, and I don't think Alexander's going to score. 50-0.
50-0.
50-0.
Really?
That's right. Maybe the game of the week, Athens hosting Wellston. Athens 5-2. Kind of struggled the last 2 weeks. Wellston 3-4. It's hit or miss with them. So, mm-hmm. What do you expect?
I'm taking Athens. I think it'll surprise you, though. I think it'll be closer than people think. I'll make it 32-20.
35-14 for me. Athens just offensively is just very, very strong. I think they're the best team I've seen this year. I have not seen Wellston. I've heard good things. I think they're a very well-coached team. And so that's my prediction.
I don't know. Yeah, I think this game's going to be close. I think Athens' biggest thing is their trenches. I think they got a great offensive defensive line, but I think Wellston matches up well with them. So I think it's going to be a close game, but I'm going to take it 32-28 Athens.
Man, I want Wellston to win. I don't say that often.
I was going to say, you all right? Let me check you for a fee.
Well, I'm being selfish here. I mean,
yeah,
we need Wellston to beat Athens.
You do need Wellston to beat Athens.
Mm-hmm.
Athens is going to beat Wellston 35-7.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, now maybe the game of the week in high school football this Friday. Who would have thought the 7-1 Piketon Red Streaks at the 5-2 Zane Trace Pioneers? Zane Trace, the reigning SVC champion, Piketon fourth in the region, trying to solidify themselves as a playoff spot and take a hold of that league. With a win here, so this should be a good one. It's at Zane Trace.
Go ahead, Bob. I've seen
my buddy
Zane Trace.
My buddy Marcus Games coaches with Zane Trace, and I think that's a factor for them because he's a good coach, great coach. I coach with him, but I'm going to go Piketon at a tight one, 28-21.
Ooh.
I'm going to take Zane Trace by the same score.
Ooh. Well, this is a tough one. This is definitely a tough one. I'm going to take Piketon. I think Zane Trace has kind of not really been the team we thought they were going to be after last year's performance.
5-2.
Yeah, but, I mean, we were expecting them to kill a lot of these teams that haven't been beaten, and they haven't been doing it. And
oh, okay.
Piketon, I mean, we've seen Piketon. We know they got it.
We've seen Piketon. They're
good. I think Burkheimer, I believe, is second or third in southeastern Ohio in passing right now. I mean, he's a heck of a quarterback. So I'm going to go with Piketon here, and I think Piketon's going to beat him pretty good. I'm going to take this one 32-20.
I got to make up ground. I'm taking Zane Trace 28-27.
Zane Trace is a very good football program, top to bottom.
Yes, they are.
And a very hard place to play, but
right.
they're a very
yes.
solid football program.
And they've owned Piketon
yeah.
for quite a while, so.
Did I get this? So Bob took Piketon, and Jeff took Zane Trace, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right,
I
so
go with Marcus on that one, Bob.
I would. I love Marcus to death, but if Zane Trace wins, I've heard stories that there may be a Ironwood.
Oh, here we go!
Oh my!
Okay, that they may have you come back and play at homecoming. Okay, at least for some of the slow dances, we don't think you guys can go.
I don't think we can do much fast stuff anymore.
Go ahead.
Okay, our two college games of the week that we toss out there. This one, a little bit of home cooking involved. 2-3 Northwestern at 2-3 Michigan State. Obviously, Jalen Prater for Northwestern and Trey Williams from Athens play for Northwestern, start for Northwestern on the defensive side of the ball. So we're obviously pulling for those two to have good games. So that's why that one's on there. So who do you got in this game?
Well, Michigan State also had the kid from Portsmouth West last year, Pendleton.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
I'll go with Northwestern just because I like Jalen and the other kid from Athens. So I'm going to go with Northwestern 28-21.
Ooh.
Nice.
At Michigan State, too.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Northwestern because Michigan State's kind of fell off the face of the earth all of a sudden.
Yeah,
they lost three in a row.
That was a bad loss. Who'd they lose to? It was a bad team they lost to, though, right? I don't think.
Yeah, they weren't expected to lose to the team they lost to.
Yeah.
I'll go 21-10.
Okay.
You taking Michigan State?
I think Michigan State's still a powerhouse, man. I mean, Wisconsin and Michigan State went down to the wire, and Wisconsin's looking amazing right now. So everybody has a bad game. I'm just going to chalk Michigan State up to a flat week, and I'm going to take Michigan State, and I think they're going to beat Northwestern pretty good. I think Jaden's going to have an awesome game, though. I'm going to give him a pick in this game, but it ain't going to be enough, okay? So Michigan State's going to win this game 28-13.
35-20 Michigan State.
Woohoo! He is trying to make up ground.
There we go. We got the Bob and Jeff on the opposite side of us on that one.
I hate picking Michigan State.
Curdy might yell at us later when he sees us.
Randy Hoagland will love you for picking anything that says Michigan in the front of it.
One of Luggs's, if you guys have listened to the show, this is like Luggs's favorite team.
They're on the list every
because
time.
Because you know, he's a deeply rooted SEC fan.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Tennessee Volunteers are like it for him.
My brother lives in Nashville, by the way. But yeah.
So we've got number one Alabama at number nine Tennessee. Alabama 6-0, Tennessee 5-1.
And Tennessee just coming off a loss.
Yes, but a close loss.
About a close loss. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am not a huge Nick Saban fan in any way, shape, or form.
What about Lane Kiffin?
No. Actually, my son's
tell us how you really feel.
My
Bob.
Son's outfield's teammate's brother was the starting tight end at Tennessee.
Nice,
and
really.
He is at Florida International, but started as a true freshman.
That's cool.
I'm going to go with Tennessee in an upset here.
Ooh,
I'm going to go with Tennessee. Let's go high scoring tilt 31-28.
28
at Tennessee was the largest stadium.
That's at Tennessee.
Well, and we know how hard it is to play down there. Ask Frank Solich.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Tennessee just because I want Alabama out of the number one spot.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Alabama can lose seven games. It's still be in the bowl
the
coalition.
SEC.
Well, Ohio State could lose one.
This is what will happen. If Alabama loses, Tennessee will jump to the number one spot, and Alabama will fall to two.
That's probably true.
Ohio State probably won't get in anyway. If they lose one game, Alabama could lose five.
Yeah, I'm going with Tennessee 24-10.
Wow.
Who you got? I know you're picking Alabama.
Tennessee's got a good quarterback, man.
Shut up.
They do.
Shut your mouth. You picked Ohio University beat Tennessee.
He says, I picked, come on. You got to pick
OU,
them,
all right, yeah.
OU,
yeah.
Oh, okay. I picked them 1 week, and the next week I picked against Tennessee. So they're not my favorite, but I do tend to, I get it right usually with them, except for that one time. I'm taking Alabama on this. Tennessee's going to get slaughtered. This is going to knock Tennessee down in the 20s is what this one's going to do. Two losses in a row. They're going to get beat.
That kid last week was named Deacon, and we kind of brought up Alabama.
Yeah, we did.
Steely Dan, they call Alabama the Crimson Tide, and then when I lose, they call me Deacon Blues.
Deacon Blues, that's right.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Burleson play for Tennessee?
Yes.
Our old coach did.
He did.
Play
for
Tennessee.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Sorry, Justin. Love Justin. That I got to go against him, too. I'm going to give a score of I think it's going to be like 48-10.
Ooh.
I think this one's a hammering. Yeah,
ooh.
I think Tennessee's going to struggle.
32-13. Alabama.
Alabama.
Yeah, okay. did I have to say.
How did you and I get on the opposite side of the fence on that one? Just because we don't like Alabama. So
just I, hate. I just don't like Nick Saban.
Personal opinion.
I don't like Alabama. I hope Alabama loses too, but I'm trying to win here. I mean, come on.
He's trying to keep it close because at the end of the year.
Well, you guys know if this turns out correctly that your phone will start ringing late Saturday night.
Well, we
It'll
know.
Be Bob and I going,
not the first time that we've you know, heard it.
Because we rarely win anything.
Well, just speak for yourself.
Okay. That's going to do it. Dollars and Dimes, Rapid Fire Predictions.
We got one more to go.
We have one more to
go. Forgetting the big dog,
you might
want
to do the home
this
one.
Yeah.
Do we really have to pick this?
Cut that out. Edit that part
matters.
Out.
I'll edit that part out for you, man. You know I'm not going to. But.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
I'm going with the Vikings just because I think they're playing really well, and I think Coach Downs has them clicking on all cylinders, offense, defense, getting on the same page. A little bit fearful about rain coming in. It's supposed to rain that night, but I'm going with the Vikings, and I'm going in a high-scoring tilt. let's go with can we put a lot of points on the board?
We do.
So
we'll do.
I'm going 38-30.
Ooh, that's a good.
Now let me back that up. I think we're going to win on a field goal. So I'm
you
going,
have lost.
I love
bit of sense you
well,
ever
I am
had.
35.
Hey, we have kicked two field goals this year. We have kicked two.
No,
we only made one, but we kicked
I'm
two.
I'm going 38. Okay, let me go back. 38. My score is good. 38-31.
I just want to say, too, I might have influenced that field goal kick because once it was that fourth down, I was screaming at Wallen Mendez going, kick the field goal, kick the field goal.
That's what we were screaming.
Yeah.
So if we would have made it, though, I'll tell you now, our show would have been over because Bob would have fainted and we'd have had to call a squad.
I'm also thinking we're going to return a kick or punt because it's been 7 years since we've done
Well,
it.
Unless we send somebody back to
return a punt.
Do
that if you don't have
we're not going to return one.
I think this is a week.
Okay.
Are we going to send somebody back or are you just going to run out there yourself and
get it? We can return one. I'm just predicting this is a week. I got faith in the Vikings.
It's happened. There's been all every other record's been broke. Why not that, right?
Might as well get that one, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So. Okay, so we got Bob and we got his score, right?
Jeffrey? I think you are in the Benton County Local School Board. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to be pretty sure. For the,
I'm going to pick the Vikings, but it's going to be a squeaker. I think it's going to be like 36-33.
Ooh, another game in the 30s.
Yeah, I think I'll tell you what. Everybody needs to come watch this game because these are two teams that are really closely matched up. I mean, it could go either way. We've seen River Valley score 50. We've seen them have some bad days offensively, too. I think that this game, I'm taking Vinton County, too, and I think it's going to be a close game and an entertaining game, and there's going to be a lot of points scored both ways. Vinton County is going to win this game. They're getting 40 points again for the second straight week. We are going to score 43, don't ask where that number comes from, to 30.
And the wheels are turning.
Nathan's wanting to pick River Valley.
Hey,
I tell you, he talks about Tennessee. He is a River Valley nut hugger. Can I say nut hugger on the air?
So
I'm just telling you.
It beats some of the things we've said on the air. So I'm sure
tomorrow night, I think I'm going down to do their show.
Yes, I know. Yeah, he does it. Yeah.
They may not let you in if you
want to. Well, no, I'm actually going to go and do the show.
Oh, you're going to be live?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to be there.
I won't be on the phone this week.
That could be hard. There's people listening as we speak.
Yeah. I know. I have to pick the Vikings. I have to.
Yeah.
They're my team.
Yeah.
I think this is a game we can win. It's a game we can win. It's a game we can lose. It all depends on how we play.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say that we ride the wave of confidence from that Fed Hog game, and I think we score 40 points, and I think we give up 30. Defense is playing better the last few weeks.
Yep.
So, and this is a team that likes to run. They do like to pass a lot too, and we'll you know we've got their stats for their quarterback. We'll on the preview segment, but it's going to be an entertaining game.
Yeah.
A lot of points.
I think what Bob said: if the weather's bad, if it's raining, yeah, I think it comes down to who can run the football. And we know the Vikings can run.
We can. And we can. We also have for the first time in the history of the school a kicker. Like you said.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if this game comes down next 2 years ago down at River Valley, we lost by 3 points because we both scored three touchdowns. They got three extra points, and we got zero.
We also lost to Fairfield Union last year.
Reason. So that's exactly right. Now, this year could be different. We could be the team that kicks those three extra points and win the game. So we have that on our side now. So we'll see. That's why I'm taking BC. Oh.
And Bob and Jeff went the same on everything but one, by the way. So they're one of you two's winning.
Uh-oh.
You guys this week.
Cannot be a tie.
So, yeah, can't be
he
a tie.
He usually agrees with everybody telling me.
You're
no,
probably,
no.
This is how big these predictions are, right? You guys are driving everywhere going, hey, we're going the same on all these. Okay, this is big.
No, no,
we
no.
didn't even know what we were talking about.
We're going back
we had no
those
idea.
Two words, road trip, won't go.
All right, that is going to do it. The Dollar Dimes rapid fire predictions.
Hey,
we're done.